One of my favorite ways to invest is real estate, but not everyone wants to handle tenants and toilets. Enter Fundrise. They make it easy to invest in real estate with their flagship fund. Now, as always, you always have to carefully consider the investment objectives and risks of the Fundrise flagship fund before investing. But right now, demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. And the Fundrise flagship fund plans on going on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise flagship fund to your portfolio in just minutes, with just as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/PFP. As always, carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise flagship fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/PFP. That's fundrise.com/PFP. This is a paid advertisement. Spring is a great time of year to do some cleaning around the house and clean up your finances. And something else that you can do for your family this spring is shopping for life insurance with Policy Genius as part of your financial planning for the year. Getting life insurance today means you'll have peace of mind so that if something were to happen to you, your family can cover expenses, things like mortgage payments, credit card payments, car loans, or even college costs. I have a wife and two kids, with a third on the way, by the way, and business partners that all depend on my income. So I needed life insurance, and Policy Genius made that so incredibly easy. And with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save. That's policygenius.com. On this episode of the Personal Finance Podcast, how do you navigate tipflation and how much should you tip? Let's get into it. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Personal Finance Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew, founder of MasterMoney.co, and today on the Personal Finance Podcast, we're going to be talking about how to navigate tipflation. If you guys have any questions, make sure to hit us up on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, at MasterMoneyco, and follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or your favorite podcast player. And if you want to help out the show, consider leaving a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. Now, today, we are going to be talking through something that I think is on a lot of people's minds, and most people are pretty frustrated with it, and that is tipflation and how much you should be tipping in various situations. So the way we're actually going to be talking through this episode is, first, we're going to talk through why consumers are getting frustrated. Then we're going to go through why tipflation is actually happening. And there are three actual causes of how this happened and how this started. And there's one cause that I want you to be really, really aware of that a lot of people don't actually know is going on. And it may change your mind on some of the tipflation stuff. And then part two, I'm going to go through how much you all tip. So we polled a bunch of you to see how much you tip in various situations. And so I'm going to go through that. And then lastly, I'm going to tell you how much I think that most people should tip based on various situations. So we're going to go through this, and I'm going to show you how to navigate this entire crazy tipflation sequence, because I know a lot of people think it's getting out of control. We'll dive into those stats here in a second. So if that's something you're into, let's get into it. All right. So the reason why we're doing this episode today is we're getting a lot of questions that are coming in from people saying, you know, tipping is getting out of control. I don't really know what to do. And I think a lot of consumers out there are starting to really get frustrated with the way that the tipping is unfolding as we go through our day-to-day activity, specifically when it comes to just doing very simple tasks. Whereas, you know, you can go to a stadium. For example, I go to a lot of Bucks games because I live in Tampa. I'm a big Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. And so I go to a lot of Bucks games. And if you go up and you get a soda or you get a beer or you get some sort of drink, what they do is they take the soda and the can and they open the can, they hand it to you, and then they turn a screen around that has three options. It has a tip option for 18%, 20%, or other amount. And so those are the options a lot of people get. And consumers, a lot of times, just want to buy the item that they're purchasing, especially when it's with quick items like that. And they don't want all these different surcharges. Most people want to know upfront, what does this item cost? I don't want additional surcharges on the back end. And if you've ever run a business, you know this. Consumers want to know what the price is. They want to know what it is upfront. A lot of times, most consumers would rather probably have their taxes baked into the price of the item than to get to the register and then the taxes are put on after the fact, because it is so much better as a consumer to just know the total cost of ownership, as you would say, for this item. So I think it's really, really important to understand most consumers just don't like these surcharges. So A, that's number one, why most of us are getting frustrated. Number two, it's also jarring because a lot of people just don't really know what to do. There's no etiquette fully behind this on exactly what you need to be doing in certain situations. Now, I think there is etiquette behind restaurants here in America, where a lot of us know how much we should be tipping in restaurants. Although I'm going to show you some of the data, which I thought was pretty interesting from you guys and some other places. And we'll talk through that in a little bit. But I don't think there's a tipping etiquette for a lot of other situations. There's all these jokes going around where you see these videos on TikTok or Instagram, and a realtor is taking people around the house. And then after she or he shows them the house, she turns around an iPad to tip for showing the house. So there's things like where people will go to the mechanic and the mechanic has an iPad turning around for a tip. So all of this stuff is really, really important to understand that I think a lot of people are making jokes out of it. And it's one of those things that it really, truly is getting out of hand for a lot of people. And most people think it's getting out of hand. In fact, 3 out of 4 Americans have stated that tipping is getting out of hand. And I'll show you guys what you guys said as well as we go through this. Now, the third thing is, I think people are getting frustrated because technology is at play here. They're flipping around an iPad screen, and a lot of times people just don't know what to do. And that screen usually has a situation where the tipping amounts, the predetermined tipping amounts, are in a lot of scenarios too high. Sometimes it's not, but in a lot of scenarios, it can be too high. And there's a reason for that that we're going to be talking through today. So these are just some of the reasons people are getting frustrated. Also, people probably feel as though maybe they are having to be guilted into tipping for services that may not merit the amount of tip that's on there. And so that is one big piece that I think a lot of people are stating. So in fact, Bankrate did a study and they found that most people think that tipping is getting way out of hand. And they looked at tipping culture and they think that it's getting out of control. And a lot of Americans are saying that this is something that they really just wish that cost was baked into. So I think it's really, really important. And we'll go through that study a little more as we progress through this podcast. Now, why is tipflation happening? Because that's what a lot of people are calling this, is tipflation. Why is this happening? Well, first of all, if you don't know what tipflation is, it is the increasing amounts of money that people are expected to pay in tips for goods and services rendered. And this has gone up significantly over the course of the last couple of years. And reason number one is because of the pandemic. Now, the pandemic is a real reason why this all started. And during the pandemic, a lot of folks relied on some additional tips in order for them to be able to make payroll A for their company, and or so that those workers, those essential workers, could actually earn a living. A lot of people were being generous to try to help people earn a living during the pandemic. And I think this is all where it all really started, where we could see that acceleration point of the amount that we needed to be tipping. But number two, and this is the one that I really want everybody to kind of hone in on, and if you feel guilty in certain situations where you also feel terrible that you tipped 20% on something very specific that you did not want to tip 20% on, this is because of the technology. So a lot of times they call this the nudge, and they try to guilt you into tipping a certain amount because of this nudge. And so I want you to understand that there are big companies out there, and I use these companies for my businesses, companies like Square or some of these POS systems that are out there that have this thing where you turn the iPad screen around and you're supposed to tip a certain amount. Well, when this comes up, a lot of times Square, not a lot of times, all of the time, companies like Square actually get a percentage of your tip. And this is something that I did not realize until about a year ago when I started to have some of these systems in some of our businesses, that Square gets a percentage of the tip that you give that specific person. And so they are very much incentivized to put higher amounts on the predetermined screen because they get a percentage of that tip every single time. It's a POS system. So any dollar that comes in, and when they refund you money, they also get a percentage. But any dollar that comes into that business, they are going to get a percentage of that tip. So they're going to put 18, 20, 25% as the predetermined screens, and I'm sure you can adjust those, but they are putting those at the predetermined screens. A, it's an incentive for the employee to want that amount on there, and B, it's an incentive for Square to want that amount on there. And so this is something that is really important. And the other power to this is there is a lot of power in social pressure, meaning that the person who is rendering you the services is standing right in front of you and looking at you as you make this decision. It's not something that you're doing in private when the waitress or waiter walks away. Instead, this is something they're looking right at you as you're looking at this screen. So this social pressure leads a lot more people to tip more than they actually intended to originally. And so social pressure is a big factor when it comes to tipflation. And so a lot of people need to be cognizant of this and aware of this, and Square and all these other companies are very aware that this psychology behind this is really, really important. Number three, though, is based on inflation. The third reason why this has gone up is a lot of businesses have taken a big hit because of inflation. And so when they take a hit because of inflation, for example, a restaurant may have seen food costs go up, you know, 10, 20, 30% over the course of the last couple of years, and they're trying to figure out how can they actually earn the same amount of money and be able to even survive. And so a lot of times what they will do is they will rely on tips to help supplement the income of their workers. Now, this is for a lot of people, they're saying, well, that is not my problem. This is the business's problem. They should not be putting that on me. And so that is one side of the story. The other side is, well, I want to help out my local businesses that are struggling and need some of this help. And so there are two sides to this story that a lot of people fall into. And so I think it's very, very interesting to see the psychology behind this as well. Now, if you are a person who works in some of these and you rely on tips, when you flip that screen around, flash a little smile and look the person right in the eye, because you can use this psychology to your advantage in order to earn more money if you wanted to. And some people don't care. They're not going to tip no matter what. But for some situations, you can actually use that social pressure and that psychology in your favor. So this is exactly why it's happening. This is why consumers are frustrated. And in the next part, we're going to talk about how much you all tip. So I surveyed all of you. We're going to talk about how much you all tip. And I'm going to talk about the national average about how much people should tip. And then the third part, we're going to dive into how much I think you should tip in a bunch of different situations. All right. So I surveyed all of you on Instagram, email list, a bunch of other places here, and talking through, you know, how much do you tip for tipflation, or how much do you tip in certain situations? And so we're going to go through each of these because I think it's super, super interesting to see how much people tip. So the first one is, how much should you tip for a to-go order? So I asked you all that, and 55% of people said $0 for a to-go order, meaning you go up and you call up a Thai place and you say, hey, I want to order some pad Thai to go. You walk in there, you pick up the pad Thai. So you use your gas, you drive over there, you pick up the pad Thai. $0 is what 55%. So over half of you said $0. A few bucks is what 30% said. 10% is what 11% said. And 15%+, only 5% stated they would give 15%+. And so that is the first option. The second one, what about a point of sale reader, i.e. a coffee shop, anything like that? Well, 59% of you said you tip $0 at a coffee shop. 23% of you said you tip 10% or less. And then 4% said 15%. And then 13% said just a few bucks is what you give at a coffee shop. So very interesting, is $0 on the coffee shop and $0 on the to-go order is the majority there. Now, what about delivery services like DoorDash, Uber Eats, or if you get delivered groceries? Well, this is an interesting one because it is very, very close. So 30% said a few bucks, which in a lot of those situations, I think that's too low. 32% said 10%. 18% said 20%, and 20% also said 15%. So about 40% of you said somewhere between 15 and 20%, and then about 62% of you said a few bucks to 10%, which is probably around the same number as it lands. Now, a full service restaurant. This is one that I think is the majority of people are in agreement on. And so the full service restaurant, 4% of you said 10%, which if you're a 10% person, we got beef, okay? I've worked in restaurants before. That's too low in my opinion. And then we have 20% of you said about 15%. Then we had 67% of you say 20%, which I think this is kind of where a lot of the commonality for most people lands, is that 15 to 20% range. A lot of people think that's a customary thing that's already in the American culture. And so 20% for a full service sit down restaurant. And then more than 20% is 9% of you. And then we look at valet. So valet is one that we don't do that frequently. But, you know, how much do you tip for valet? Where I went to a restaurant the other day, I walked out of the restaurant door, and it was this fancy schmancy restaurant with my wife and I. We walked out of the restaurant door and the valet parked my car, and I'm looking at my truck and it's literally 10 steps away from where I'm standing. But still, I always want to be tipping those workers because they rely on tips specifically in order to earn their living. So 54% of you said a few bucks. 34% of you said $5, 9% of you said $10, and then 2% of you said more than $10. And a lot of times the valet depends on where you are, how fancy schmancy the place is, those types of things as well, and how far they have to go is another big one. Now, here is one that I think is interesting because this is hairstylist or barber. And for a lot of people, I want you to think through this a little bit, because somebody is, and we'll talk more about this on how much you should tip. So I'm actually going to save that for later in the episode. But here we go. So a few bucks is 27% of you said a few bucks. 17% of you said 10%. 20% of you said 15%, and 20% or more is 36%. So I like to see that 36% there. I think that's interesting, and we'll talk through more why. Now, Bankrate.com also did a study on how much people actually leave a tip. So they asked, hey, do you leave a tip for these various things? And the options are always, most of the time, only sometimes, and never. And I think this is super interesting. So for hairdressers and hairstylists or barbers, 9% don't leave a tip, 18% only sometimes, 19% most of the time, and then 53% always. For hotels and housekeepers, 23% always. Coffee shops, 22% always, 23% never. Servers or wait staff, 65% always, 18% most of the time. If you are most of the time or only sometimes or never, you and I got some beef there if you're in that category for servers and sit-down restaurants, because that's what they rely on. Food delivery people, 50% always, 25% most of the time, and then only sometimes is 18%. And then when picking up takeout food, 13% is always, and then the rest fell into most of the time, 19%, 32% for only sometimes, and then never is 35%. Taxi and rideshare drivers, 40% always, and then furniture, 17% always, a furniture delivery, 17% always, and much less, 38% never. And then home services, so repair, plumber, electrician, 10% always, and 48% never, and some others say sometimes. Now, I asked all of you, how do you determine how much you tip? So I got a bunch of really good responses. A lot of people said, depending based on the service, or 100% on how good the service is, and how much time it takes, those types of things. Then we had some good, very specific responses. Spin the iPad, $0 to $1 per person, depending on how nice they are. And then full service, 15 to 25%. Others of you said it depends on the product, i.e. the labor should be included, no tip. And if it was exceptional and the cost of the product, including the labor it took to make, was great, then you do offer a tip. Delivery in bad weather was another good one. And that was one, you know, snow, rain, et cetera. Oh, that's my sister. Shout out my sister, Lindsay. That is her response there. I didn't even notice that until I just said that there. So that is another one. I tip based on how friendly the service is and how full my water stays. That's another one that came through. Level of customer service. We got hundreds of responses here as we went through this. Most people were talking about quality of service and how the person is actually compensated. And so those are very, very interesting responses. So this is kind of where you all came in when it comes to how to actually navigate tipping and how we can actually think through tipflation as we do some of this stuff. Now, I know this is some of the stuff that is kind of hard to navigate. It is hard to think through what you should be doing. And so I'm going to tell you how much you should tip, in my opinion. Now, all of this is my opinion, and we're going to do that next. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. And if you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. And they have a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/personal finance. Just go to Indeed.com/personal finance right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/personal finance. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Now is a great time of year to get your finances in order. And no matter what your financial goals are this year, when you use Chime's online checking account, you can cross all those financial to-dos off your list. Chime's online checking account has tons of benefits that millions of members love, like fee-free overdraft up to $200. Plus, get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit, all while managing your money on the go 24/7. And you get access to over 60,000 ATMs. So start building your credit and open a Chime checking account with at least $200 qualifying direct deposit to get started. Get started at chime.com/PFP. That's chime.com/PFP. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank, N.A. or Stride Bank, N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply. One of the most important things as a podcaster is making sure that you have a solid desk. And my standing desk is my Uplift desk. It is what I use every day to record the show, prepare for the show, and do my office work. And standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, and it helps me focus and stay productive. And the option to move while I work is so much healthier. I'm moving around more, I'm getting better circulation, which can help reduce all different types of health risks. And I use Uplift Desk because it doesn't wobble, which is really important to me because I have very expensive equipment and mics on my desk. And it's built to last, so you can tell based on these super solid materials on the Uplift Desk. And they also let you build your custom dream desk by choosing from over 100 different desktop choices and hundreds of accessories. And I love that they have the industry-leading 15-year warranty that covers the complete desk. So go to upliftdesk.com/PFP for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/PFP to get 5% off your entire order. The key to winning in any business is making sure you have the right business partner. An example is Procter & Gamble or Ben & Jerry. But what about the perfect partners when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit $1 million stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. And most people know one of your biggest struggles when it comes to starting an online business is finding new customers, and Shopify can help you do that. And what I love about Shopify is no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. So sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/PFP, all lowercase. So go to shopify.com/PFP now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/PFP. All right, so as we go through part three here, this is only my opinion. And so I want you to take this with a grain of salt. I don't want you to get upset if I say something should be higher or lower than what you think it is. What we're talking through here is what my opinion is and how I actually tip and how I navigate some of this stuff when I go through this. Now, I want to say this up front. One of the main reasons that I focus on building wealth is I want to be as generous as possible when it comes to my money. And I want to be giving away my money in a generous way. It just makes me happy. It brings me joy. It is something that I always focus on doing. I focus on every single month giving away at least a minimum of 10% of my income. Usually it's more. And so I want to give as much away as possible. And the reason why my financial philosophy changed from having lean FIRE, meaning just having your expenses paid for so that you can have freedom with your time and energy, to fat FIRE is I want to give more and more money away. And you'll hear us talk more about this as we go through these episodes in the future and the reasons behind that. So when it comes to some of this stuff, I want to be as generous as I possibly can. And this is something that's really important to me, is to be as generous as you possibly can when it comes to a lot of different services. Now, I don't think that every single scenario you have to tip. My example earlier in the show where I said somebody just opened a beer and handed it to me, I don't think that's a scenario where you always have to tip in that situation unless you want to. If somebody does that, then I think it's a very different story. Or if you utilize your gas and you go to do a pickup order, a couple of bucks is fine. For example, when I go to Starbucks or I go to a coffee shop, I get a black coffee. And so a lot of times I'll just tip a couple of bucks when I do things like that, just out of, you know, generosity. But I don't think you have to tip in those situations. If you have a very complex drink and they're taking a lot of time on your drink, that's a different story. But if you just are getting something where they pour it into the cup and hand it to you, that's a very, very different scenario. And so there's a lot of different situations like that where I pretty much tip in every single scenario for me personally, but that's just because of my own personal beliefs and being generous. I don't think you have to. So I want to say that up front as we go through this, and then I'll go through how I kind of think through this process. Now, I want to give you three guidelines to think through. So in very personalized services, when your services are personalized to you, tip every worker that helps you. So if you're in a hair salon or something like that, and there's a person, you know, who goes and dries your hair, and there's a person who cuts your hair, just tip every person in that scenario who has helped you through that process. And if you've received individual or personalized services from people, and that's how they earn their money is via tips, then just make sure you are tipping them for that skilled work. If it's inexpensive services, meaning if it's something that is, you know, less than $10 or less than $5, then you can leave a small amount for those inexpensive services. You don't have to ball out unless you feel compelled to. You can just leave a couple of dollars. And one thing to do to combat the iPad issue, because I have felt this a number of different times. In fact, this happened to me yesterday where I went to go pick up a to-go order of food. I went to a place local to me here. They turned the iPad around and the lowest amount that was available to click was 20%. And this was something where I picked up a meal for like my entire family, but I went and drove there and picked it up because I was coming home. And when I did that, that was 20%, 25%, and 30% were the three options on this iPad. And there was two people behind the register looking directly at me. And I literally felt guilty and I pushed the 20% button. And immediately after that, I'm like, well, this just seems like it's way too much for just picking up an order. And it was. I fell into the guilt and it was too much money. I actually kind of regretted it after because all they did was just make something that was very simple to make and then handed it to me. But sometimes when it comes to that generosity, a lot of times I think in the back of my head, well, what if they need it or what if something else comes up? So really, I'm not going to harp on something like that. But one way that you can combat this and something that I have thought about a lot is you can keep cash on hand with you. Maybe you keep a couple of bucks with you. You put it into the tip jar. And so instead, you can actually combat that guilt if you're a person who starts to feel guilty when someone turns the iPad screen around. So I think that is something that you really can think through as you go through this. Now, let's go through each of these categories on how much I tip. And I'm going to talk through maybe some of my reasonings behind that. So tipping at restaurants, server or waiter. My bare minimum always for a server or waiter is 20%. Even if it's really bad service, I just think, man, they had a bad day. This is how they make their living. They make less than minimum wage in a lot of situations. I am going to tip 20%. If you're 15%, hey, that's culturally acceptable as well. My bare minimum is 20%, and then I will give more all the time. Sometimes when we have really bad service, my wife goes, don't go out of control here, because she knows I usually give more than 20%. But a lot of times that is one that I know what they're going through a lot of times, and so I give more than what normally do. So fast casual or fast food restaurants, I usually give a couple of bucks. Buffets, I don't really ever go to buffets, but I would just treat that the same way as a restaurant. And then things like takeout. So if I go get takeout somewhere, and I'm going to just pick it up like I did the other day. Usually it's a couple of bucks, and or if they are late or they take forever on some of this stuff and they just really are not the nicest folks in the world, sometimes I'll give zero. But for the most part, I usually give a few bucks at least for takeout and for pickup, that type of thing. Restaurant delivery. So if you get stuff delivered to your house, I truly believe it needs to be 20%. They are getting in their car. They are driving to you in order to get there. So I usually will give 20% because I think about the amount of time it takes them that they're spending on you. So say the restaurant's 20 minutes away. Well, they are driving 20 minutes to get to you. They're spending 20 minutes to get to your house. And that is my reasoning behind that. But 10 to 20% is obviously something where you can get in that range as well. Coffee shops. That's one where I get a black coffee. So I literally just get a regular black coffee anywhere I go, or I'll get an espresso. And so a lot of times it's either, you know, if they don't have a tip option, then I won't tip them. But if they flip the screen around, it's usually a dollar or two, whatever else. But I don't think you really have to give anything for those scenarios unless they have very specific drinks. If they have very specific drinks, that's a different story. Now let's think about grocery services. So grocery baggers, those types of things. A lot of times, like the grocery store I go to, we don't have grocery baggers. Shout out my homies at Aldi, or grocery delivery services. That's another one where they're going into the store sometimes and they're picking it up for you, or the store is actually doing it and then they're driving it over to you and moving heavy bags to your front door or into your house. That's got to be a 15 to 20% tip, in my opinion, because the amount of work that they're doing. You always need to be tipping on those, though. That is not a situation where you cannot tip for grocery delivery services. You absolutely should be tipping. I've seen people not tip online for some reason. I think that's crazy. Tipping at salons and spas. So this is another one where if you're getting a tattoo or you're getting a massage or hairstylist and barber, this is one I want you to think about for a second, because when it comes to a hairstylist or a barber, they're spending anywhere, if you're going to a barber and you're getting a normal haircut, for example, they're spending 30 to 40 minutes on your head, and they're spending that entire time with you, focusing on just you for 30 to 40 minutes. And so for that reason, I give 20% or more to hairstylists or barbers. I saw some people in some of the surveys said they give zero, nothing to hairstylists or barbers, or just a dollar or two. But just think about it. They're spending 30 to 40 minutes on your specific head. Now, I know the price of haircuts have gone up. It used to be, when I was just a couple of years ago, it seemed like it used to be like 10 to 12 bucks. Now it's usually 20 bucks at my barber. But I just think they're spending so much time on there. I want to be generous. And if you're going to the same barber every week like I do, shout out my girl Marcella at the barbershop. She is who I go to every single week. And if you're doing something like that and you're developing a relationship with this person, this is something I definitely think that you should be doing. And if you have kids and your kids are screaming their head off while the barber is cutting their hair, if you have a toddler or something like that, I've heard of people not tipping in that situation. That is super stressful for the barber, and it is super stressful for, you know, everybody involved in the entire store. You need to be tipping even more than that on those scenarios if your kids are going crazy. And some people are going to disagree with me on that. Well, that's one of the things that, like I said, take all this with a grain of salt. This is just my opinion. So this is one big thing. I think hairstylists or barbers, they're spending so much time on your hair and your head that I think it's really, really important. And if you're someone who goes to the hairstylist and you're there for hours and hours, then you need to be tipping. I mean, it's just one of those things where they're spending so much time on you specifically. Manicures and pedicures, I have no experience with, but it looks like they spend a decent amount of time on you as well. And so that is one where definitely maybe you want to tip around the same amount. So tipping while traveling. So if you're traveling within the U.S., it has become much more customary to tip hotel housekeeping or concierge if they carry your bags. So housekeeping is something that it depends on the prestige of the hotel. Your boy is a big Hampton Inn stayer, so I don't go to fancy hotels a lot unless I'm traveling abroad with my wife or something like that. But if I'm just traveling for work, I'm going to, like, you know, the Hampton Inn or something like that. So I'll just, you know, every day I'll tip, you know, $5-$7, something like that. You can tip a few bucks. You don't, honestly, I don't know if you have to tip, but at the same time, I am one who is always going to tip in those situations. And if you want to be generous, because a lot of those folks don't make a ton of money, so if you want to be generous, you can give even more. And so there are scenarios where I will give more, or I'll feel compelled to give more. And that's one piece while traveling is in hotels. Cab drivers, Uber drivers, Lyft drivers for traveling. 10 to 15% is standard for a lot of people. I try to go 15, 20% usually, depending on how the driver is. Usually, you know, if they're going above and beyond with a lot of things, then it's definitely 20%. That's kind of where I land on some of that. And then internationally. So if you travel abroad, if you're a travel hacker, make sure you understand the tipping culture before you go there. Because a lot of times, like, for example, if you go to Italy or anywhere, a lot of places in Europe, you don't have to tip when you go out to eat at a restaurant, because they get paid normal wages in those locations. So you got to know, understand the tipping culture for some locations. I'm sure they appreciate a tip, but at the same time, you don't have to. It's not customary to. So, and then in some other cultures, it is almost seen as rude if you tip. So you got to make sure you understand what the culture is and respect local tipping customs, because that's really, really important when traveling abroad. Other common services like a house cleaner, for example, or flower delivery or professional movers, those types of things. Anywhere from 15 to 20%, I think, is right around a good spot in those ranges, because you're getting things that are spending a lot of time on you specifically. Things like contractors or wedding officiant or babysitter. Well, it's not always expected. I think those also can be somewhere where you tip. And so thinking through that is probably, you know, anywhere from the 10 to 20% range is great in a lot of those situations. And then during the holidays, I like to give more depending on what it is, because a lot of people have more expenses during the holidays. And so a lot of times I will give more. Andy Hill, from friend of the show from Marriage, Kids and Money, he's been on this show twice. I think he does a thing where he gives a $100 tip every Tuesday during the holidays or something like that. So I think that's a pretty cool idea as well during the holidays, is just to increase the amount that you tip and then go from there. And so I think this is one of those things that a lot of people are trying to figure out how to navigate. And I think you want to be generous first. And if you've never been generous before, if you've been the type of person that just kind of hoards all your cash, you don't really tip much, you're one of those folks who just wants to keep all their cash in house, I want you to try a little more generosity. I want you to try to give just a little bit more, because it does, and its studies have shown, it increases happiness. It can change the way you actually see your money. Because if you're willing to not hold your money so tight every single day and be so stingy with your dollars, and you're willing to give more dollars, I believe that a lot of good things can happen to you. And so in a lot of scenarios, this is something where I am very, very bullish on giving more and giving as much as you possibly can. It's a big reason why I spend so much time thinking about building wealth, is I want to give more away to people in need, give more to people who need help, give more to the causes that I believe in, give more to my church and all of these different things. So I think it's really, really important to make sure that you're doing this and make sure that you understand how powerful giving more can be. So that's the last thing I'm going to say on some of this stuff, because I think if you're going to navigate some of this stuff and you really don't know what to do, there's nothing wrong with giving more than you should and then just moving on and saying, hey, I just blessed somebody there. So I think that's a really powerful thing that you can do. And a lot more people, if we all did that, I think it'd be pretty, pretty cool what this world could become. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And thank you for investing in yourself, because I think that is one of the most powerful things that you can do, is invest more in yourself. And if you guys have any questions, you can make sure you respond on the Master Money newsletter if you want to submit a question for a money Q&A, or if you have an episode idea, go on the Master Money newsletter, make sure you subscribe to it. It's always linked up down below in the show notes, and then you can respond to any of those emails that we send through and we'll be able to answer your questions. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, and we hope you have a great week, and we will see you on the next episode. Everyone's heard the saying, you have to spend money to make money. But everything in life, from travel to starting a business, is expensive. Which is why I want to tell you about a new podcast I love that will teach you all the tactics, tricks, and tips you need to upgrade your life, money, and even travel, all while spending less and saving more. It's called All the Hacks, and it's a top-ranked show hosted by my good friend Chris Hutchins, a financial optimizer, an entrepreneur who's racked up millions of points, and he sold two companies. And if you want to rethink the way you're spending money, you have to check out the episode 91 with Bill Perkins and why you should be optimizing for net fulfillment and not net worth and striving to die with zero. All the Hacks has something for everyone, and I'm sure you'll find a new tactic that you can apply to your own life, whether it's a money hack that increases your net worth or a routine change that boosts your productivity. So check out All the Hacks. That's All the Hacks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your wallet will thank you later.